Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, wow. Praise God.
How's everybody doing this morning? Great? Awesome. Thank you.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, man.
Amen.
Praise God. God. Here we Samuel chapter 20, and it's going to be 1 through 7, and also 29 and 30. Okay, then David said to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all enemies of Saul. And he said, the Lord rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield of my salvation, and my hold, my refuge, my say, you save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be, so shall I be saved from my enemies. When the waves of death surrounded me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid, the sorrows of Sheol surrounded me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out, and he heard my voice, and my cry and his ears. Okay, 29 and 30. For you are my lamp, O Lord, the Lord's light in my darkness. For by you I can run against troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. Everybody, please bow your head with me in prayer. Lord, awesome of everything you say and do today, help us receive everything that be entered into our hearts and our minds, Lord God, going forth. We need you are the Prince of Peace and Comforter, and we need that today, Father God, and all of us. Draw us to self and can empower us to do the thing we're all called to do. Now, a lot of us, I know, have gifts. You know, some at least called to serve. So if you don't know, you can serve. From that point, too, ongoing is God's will today. What is his will for your life individually? See, why God is pinpointing it so important for each and one here. That he cares about your wants, he needs. Thing is to help us. I ask, just help us be on a line of self or pride. It's not good situation that would delivered from that. The idea is just not to go that route. Just seek him out first, his righteousness, and all these other things done to him. I know it's so easy. It's real. Those things happen. He knows that as he created us in his image, and help us continue to obey. Lord God, be disciplined in the word and in prayer on a daily basis. Those things out there in the world, I know we've received that during the week sometimes. You know, we do this when we're anxious for the thing about this or this and do that. And then by day, we're kind of worn down. And the thing is, we just need that deliverance comes great. Lord God, is in the word. And now we keep getting you out. And we get that peace that passes understanding. And we need that from the whole day. But the thing is to just be obedient unto you. And I ask you to anoint Rick Smart and tongue as the word goes through him as a living water this morning. See what we need to receive today. And that we worship an audience of one this morning. It's great to be in the house of God. Lord, you direct Father God from the beginning of this day to the end. And I worship you and praise you for who you really are, Father God. We're welcome. We're blessed. Thank you for who you are again, God. Daddy God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Says I'm on.
Yeah, nothing.
Okay. Morning.
Good morning,
Rick. I want to share with you a thing that I found heard on the radio. It's an app for Sid's Carpet and Snooze. And it says that they have a couch that will sit seven of your friends with no problems. But the big question is, do you have seven friends with problems? Thank God's got the same couch. And it holds a lot more than seven. So my topic this morning on I'm going to preach is going to be reviewed for some of you people, some of the men from our group. You know, far too many people think that because we're Christians that we've got to stay out of politics. And we do have to stay out of the back, you know, back digging and slinging and all that kind of stuff. But our country was based on biblical principles. And God calls us to defend our country, whether it be in service, whether it be voting, whether it be our job in the civilian sector, whatever it is. We're to do our part. Now, I want to share with you a short excerpt from a letter by Gary Wilkerson. He says, is there any hope for America? A call for discernment, warning, and hope. And we've all heard them. We've all heard the calls for dissent and for hope and calls warning. All of us are called to discern it doesn't take a spiritual giant to see the hour perilous. And I can see it. That goes to prove it's not a giant. God, however, never leaves people without hope. In times of darkness, easy to forget, he's always worked in mighty ways. Right now, as things seem hopeless, he's calling his people zealously. Now, throughout the Bible, we've got instances, stories, parables. Scripture's full of Israel turning their back on God and the results that came from it and the penalties that they had to pay. And that our country is very, very close where God is going to make us pay some penalties. If we don't stay as this nation to repent, then we're in hell. I heard a ad yesterday. I was watching the Red Sox game. After I prepared. God was done because he showed me an ad on TV from the critical company, I think it's E.J. Lilly or whatever, but it's a big one, Lilly. And it showed a gymnast, and it's talking about the body, and it showed a weightlifter talking about that, and it showed a mother with her new baby and says, whatever body you've got, you've only got one. Let's fight like it. Well, that's what the pharmaceutical companies are going to do to us. Like hell, we get our bodies. They're trying to poison us. They're trying to make us dependent on medicines for the rest of our lives. Now, I'm not saying that there's medicines that we don't need. But I am saying that there's medicines that we don't need. That's where the call for discernment. You know? You got to be smarter than the devil. So I want to read for you the Declaration of Independence. I'm sure all of us have, at some point in time, heard it. Very important that we hear it again. Congress, July 1st, 1776. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and perfect nation to which laws of nature and nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinion of mankind requires that they should declare the causes to impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to serve these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving just power from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying foundations on such principles and organizing its power in such form as to them shall most likely affect their safety and happiness. Prudent indeed will dictate governments long established should be changed to light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed for, while evils are sufferable, than to right themselves by abolishing them to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them to absolute despotism, their right or duty to throw out such to provide new guard for their future security, which has the patient sufferance of these countries, and such is now the necessity which strains them to alter their system of government. The history of the present King of Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpation, having in direct effect establishment of a tyranny over these states, and then it goes to list the of these two usurpations. Now, in my good eye, it doesn't take much to to envision exactly the same stances that are state Declaration of Independence in our society today. I mean, they're trying to get abortion on demand. I mean, the Democratic National Convention, they had a portable van, lab, whatever you want to call it, outside, and they were doing vasectomies and abortions convention and bragging about the numbers. That's not a country I want to live in. Society that I'm happy. Of course, I'm not too happy with too much, but anyways. There are six principles in the Declaration of Independence that we need to look at. First and foremost, it declares that there is divine creator. So throws out that one principle, then all stumble. Somehow, some way, we need to get people to open their eyes to realize that we have God, a creator, and he's a jealous God. And if we don't recognize him, then we're going to pay this. Number two, we're endowed with certain unalienable rights. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, first three, but there are others. And those are God-given rights. And our government is supposed to touch those rights. They're not supposed to have legislation to curtail any of those rights. And they do. Every day, more and more and more. The purpose of government is to protect those rights, not change them. Number four, there are fixed moral laws. They're not changing those laws. And number five is that government is by the consent of the governed. It's of by the people, for the people. They're supposed to be listening to us and watch, not us listen to them. And number six, we have the right to order or abolish that government. It's right in the Constitution. But people don't know about it. We have to pay attention on around us. And if we don't have time, then we find people that do have the time to do it. You know, formed opinion on something. If we do everything else, who's just on TikTok or Facebook or whatever else, but... And this country was given to us by God. He formed it, and he wants us to take care of it. So, I'll turn this ball game or some sitcom or whatever, which I watch anyway, but I'm willing to give up some time to learn what's going on around me. And we all need to be able to do that. I mean, we do it every Wednesday with the men's. We sit and listen to the topic. And you can say, well, that was just a Bible teaching. Well, what our government's established on, we'll learn from it. We have to alter or abolish government if it does hold the first five principles. And our government now is not holding those five principles. It's trying everything it can do to squash all of them. So we want to alter or abolish. What's the easiest way to do it? The ballot box. Become an informed voter. Don't worry if your neighbor's going to get mad because you got somebody in your front yard. Or you got a sign in the front yard that says repent. Or if you got a sign in the front yard that said, is Lord. We're not to think what men think of us, you know, care about it. It's what God does. I'd rather have a clear conscience in front of God and have my neighbor spit at me than have God spit. In the last election, 18% voters chose who was president. 18%. There was 3% that voted, but over had to vote for one person for him to win. It's 18% saying. And in our state elections, 3 to 6% of people voted. So if 3 to 6% of the people in this church right now had an opinion and it ruled over the rest of us, how happy would we be? Well, if they were voting along with God, then I'm pretty happy. But if they were voting their own opinion, wasn't informed, then I wouldn't be happy because we'd be meandering here, there, like a ping pong ball, back and forth. Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is deceitful And that's why our government was set up the way it is, to control, not to control, but to govern people the way that is best for them. And it was base principles. How could it go wrong? It wrong because people went wrong. Love you. Does God love you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Hebrews 12:6 says that God chastens and so is he.
Yeah, he does.
So, this is spanking for the day. I was going to ask Ryan to find a recording of Beverly, and then I thought, well, I'll ask him to play it on the shofar. But but anyway, good. That's good luck in medicines. I wake you all up with that. God does love us. He chastens us. He gives us scripture to direct us. In James 1:19 it says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to. And we get that tone when we're looking at what's going on in our. We don't have to like it. We don't have to accept it. But we do have to be mindful of how God wants us to act, not react, what's going on around us. We have to have a civil, not call on names, you know. That's one of my biggest fears and complaints about one of the candidates right now is his tongue. Tongue is a fire. The rudder steers the ship. And I mean, his policies worked. He's got a lot of good ideas. But his mouth will sink up. He's not careful. James 14 says, therefore, to the one who knows to do the right thing to do and does not do it, him it is sin. Now, think about it. We all complain that we're too busy. But if the opportunity presents itself, the right opportunity presents itself, we need to take advantage of it. We need to support. Get involved, not say I'm too busy. Because sooner or later, busy is going to turn into a lifetime or an eternity of being busy with things we don't want. We're going to lose the things we love. Back to the theme that our country was based on biblical principles and the argument that, well, you know, religion has to stay out of politics. Politics was based on a relationship with God. Was based on biblical foundations. Benjamin Rush wrote, patriotism is as much a virtue as justice and is as necessary for the support of societies as natural affection is for the support of families. The love of country is both a moral and a religious duty. It comprehends not only the love of neighbors, but millions of our fellow creatures, but only of the present, future generations. Benjamin Rush, that the purpose of public schools is to teach students to love and serve God, country, and their family. And Dr. Rush put country before families because he understood that if we ever lost control of our country, it would become the great enemy of our families. That ring a bell thing going on in our society nowadays? Because Satan knows if he's a family that all hope is lost. We can't survive without family, even though at times it seems we can't survive with family. But hey, God will see us through. Like Carol said, you don't give up. We pray for our prodigals all the time, and we pray for our loved ones all the time, even if they are, you know. Because we pray. We need guidance. We pray like God says and work like he doesn't. One of my wife's favorite sayings is, you know, when God told the Israelites Jordan, he didn't set waters until they stuck their foot in.
That's right.
So, we need to do it before God was finished. But we need to step out. The government promises it will do that, and, you know, the old commercial promise them anything but give them our pension. Well, government promises everything gives us trouble. Many think God will do this, and God will do that. I listen to a lot of things on Rumble and on different channels on the internet, and the internet is full of garbage, but it's got some good points to it. Find so much information on there, but you got to have discernment. Got to have your ears open, your eyes open, and your brain. But they're all tearing each other apart. See, who can get the most likes, who can get the most views, and who can tear this person down, tear that person down. And it's doing it. That isn't right. You know, if you've got a problem with a person, you go to them. You don't air it on the internet or whatever. God's people should be listening to God and His Word. Now, there's no substitute for Scripture. Because God's Word will not return to Him void. I'm going to turn to Isaiah chapter 40. When I was just a wee little baby Christian, my mother did this scripture in need for me, and it still hangs on my wall. Starting in verse 7, why do you say, Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice to me escapes the notice of my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary. He gives strength, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is unscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he gives power. So youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly. Those who wait for the Lord will gain strength. They will mount up with eagles. They will run and not get tired, and they will walk and not become weary. Now that's different from what some of you got, but it means the same thing. God looking after us. But we've got to be looking after God. Because if my something to me, and I don't pay any attention to it, it'll be trouble.
And in reverse.
Yeah, if you hear me. But anyways, God's the same way. If God speaks to us and we choose to ignore Him, there's going to be trouble. And it's not like God is punishing us, but we do pay. What's the word I'm thinking of? Oh, it's not a price, it's a consequence of listening. You know, we tell our kids all the time, you either do what I say or there will be a consequence. And usually it's because of the choice they make, you know. We watched a movie last night. Son got in an argument with his father, in the car and backed up, and ran right over his little stern. Because anger blinded him. You know, his father told him, stop and get out of the car and talk to him. But the kid just backed up. Thankfully, the girl was okay afterward, just drowned. But it could have been a whole lot worse. And it's the same way with us. Pay a consequence, but God softens it. But it's enough to open our eyes so that we can see where we're going wrong, which way. Like I said, many people are saying, well, God's going to do this. God's going to, you know. And it comes straight out of Scripture. Some of it. Timing isn't right. The circumstances aren't right. Whatever it is. In Scripture, in Matthew 24, and verse 26, it talks about, you know, Jesus is out in the desert. Jesus is here and Jesus is there. But don't go there. Because people leading you astray. He'll tell us. He says there's going to be a sign in the sky when Jesus comes back. Do you believe it or not? faith, then look for the sign in the sky. Don't have your neighbor say, oh, to East Oshkosh, because Jesus is out there. I told you before, the one way that we can revolutionize our country, change our government, is the box. And if you don't believe that your vote counts, in 1995, Congress was voted on a balanced budget act, and it failed by one vote. One vote. Can you imagine what our country would be like, right? A balanced budget. Our forefathers, when they wrote the Constitution, said that one of the things the government could do was to raise taxes to pay for the debt of our government, for our defense of our Constitution. Okay, if we had to go to war against the country, they could borrow money. After the war, they would raise taxes, pay that debt, and that would be. Okay, but look at our country now, $37 trillion in debt. And it wasn't for war. It wasn't for our defense. It's for anything that you can think of. And this is supposed to look and see whether it's for the general welfare of our country or it's for a local welfare. Well, our government has spent billions of dollars, trillions of dollars, pork items, which are local interests that are tied onto a bill. So in St. Thomas, They've got a bridge nowhere. It was paid for with federal funds. I mean, it's just hanging off in the middle of nowhere. Never, millions of dollars. And there's many other instances. We have to get involved. We have to get involved. And don't worry about what your neighbors think. They probably don't like you anyway. The last scripture I want to go to is 1 Peter chapter 2. This is just to reinforce what I just said. First Peter chapter 2, 9 through 12. We've heard it many times, but it never hurts to hear it. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy, a people of own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has hemmed you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are a people of God. You did not receive mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain fleshly lusts, wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, in the thing in which they slay evildoers. They may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, by God in the day of visitation. In my mind, I can just see our founding fathers reading this verse. Because God established this country. See them sing that song that we sang earlier, God of Angel Armies. Because that's what our founding fathers had to look forward to. Britain, the strongest country on earth, the best army, best navy, they had hope at all of winning the war. And when they signed the Declaration of Independence, they were virtually signed war. But they believed enough, they were willing to die for it. And we hear all kinds of stories about martyrs all across the world dying instead of Jesus. You know? Are we willing to stand up? We probably won't die if we vote. And we're going to die someday, but it ain't going to be from voting. So we have to make a choice. Is the basic foundations of our country worthy of our interest, of our effort, our vote? I'm going to close again. Out of Psalm 55, verse 18 through 23. As for me, I call to God, and the Lord say, evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. He rescues me unharmed from the battle waged against me. Many oppose me. God, who is enthroned from old, who does not change, he will hear them and humble, because they have no fear of God. My companion attacks his friend, violates covenant. Talk is smooth as butter, yet wars in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil, yet as swords. Cast cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Never let the rest be shaken. True God will bring down the wicked into the pit of decay. The bloodthirsty and stinging will not live out half their days. As for me, I trust in you. I've been doing a study on Job this month. That's not fun. He talks about having the dark days of old. He feels that God is nowhere to be found. Same feeling in my gut, but it's God. It's about where our country is. You know, it may not be a dark day of the soul, it may be a dark day of the heart. Because I feel our country is dying. Do something. So, use your something and do it. And that's all I got to you this morning. Just play taps, because I don't want to hear that. So in keeping with tradition, the Lord bless you, the Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, and give you peace. Not so peaceful you don't vote.